Alleluia. 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 The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They're eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Similarly, as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building on the day that Lot left Sodom. Fire and brimstone rained down from the sky to destroy them all. So will it be on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, someone who is on a housetop and whose belongings are in the house must not go down to get them. And likewise, one in the field must not return to what was left behind. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses it will save it. I tell you, on that night there will be two people in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. There will be two women grinding meal together. One will be taken, one will be left." They said to him in reply, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures gather." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's passage is intrinsically connected to yesterday's, when Jesus said, "Don't look here and there for the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is ein su," which can be translated both among you, but also within you. To be able to look at the ordinary things and find there the King and His kingdom. One of the great graces that God gives us in order to be able to do that is the created world, which has His fingerprints everywhere. You know, the early Latin fathers talked about the world as the vestigia Dei, the footprints of God. That if you start to look at the created things in the world, you find God's footprints, and you can trace the footprints to the one who actually has the legs that made those prints. But it's important for us to recognize that everything is charged with God's grandeur, and to learn the skill to go from the ordinary things of life to the extraordinary one who gave us those things. That's the essence of today's first reading from the Book of Wisdom, in a famous and very beautiful passage. The money line in it is about analogy. "For from the greatness and beauty of created things, their original author by analogy is seen. Everything in this world is supposed to be one of those footprints that we're called to relate to the Lord. But there's a danger that will stop just at the footprint without asking the question, how'd the footprint get there? For us as Christians, conscious of the fact of God's kingdom being among us, we need to see the footprints of the King. The Book of Wisdom gives us several analogies. By either wind, fire, or the swift deer, the circuits of the stars, the mighty watch, the stars in the heavens. We can either look at them as the footprints, or we can consider them gods. If out of joy in their beauty they thought them gods, let them know how far more excellent is the Lord than thee, for the original source of beauty fashioned them. Likewise, in terms of the dynamism of the world, the great power, just think of the great waterfalls, Niagara Falls. Or if they were struck by their might and energy, let them from these things realize how much more powerful is the one who made them." Making that transition from created things to God is a grace that God wants to give us. But the devil's always trying to get us to stop just at the created things. You know, I hear the echo of St. Augustine here. St. Augustine, in his beautiful passage from Book 10, "Late have I loved thee, O beauty ever ancient, O beauty ever new. Late have I loved thee," said, "In my unloveliness, I stopped at the loveliness of your creatures." We can often do that. That's what happens with pornography, for example. We abstract the creature from its relationship with the Creator. And that's a paradigm of what always happens with sin, because if we were able to see its real connection to the Creator, everything else would change. And so how do we do? Do we see the ordinary things of life as things speaking to us of God? Do we see stormy days in their relationship to the Lord? Do we see sunny days in their relationship to the Lord? Do we see wind in relation to the Lord? Do we see calm in relation to the Lord? Do we see hurricanes in relation to the Lord? Do we see dry spells in relation to the Lord? Do we see others in their relation to the Lord? In the opening prayer of today's Mass, we pray to the Lord that, like St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, whom we celebrate today, we might see Christ in others. And that great capacity to be able to find the King among ordinary things is one of the greatest graces God will give us, because everything is God's artwork. But the artist is in the room. In today's Gospel, Jesus basically says that when it comes to this kingdom, if we're aware of it, we'll be ready. If we're not aware of it, we'll be totally caught off guard. And he wants us to constantly train ourselves in correspondence to his grace so that we grasp him in the present. It's what we call real presence of God. Talked about in the days of Noah, most of the people were clueless. They weren't reading the signs of the times. So most of them perished. Likewise at the time of Lot, for those in Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't see by the ways that they were living how much they were expelling God from their life, and most were caught off guard. And he says, and it could frighten us. This is really a great litmus test, frankly, of the way we approach God. When Jesus says, on that day, someone who is on the housetop and whose belongings are in the house must not go down to get them. Likewise, one in the field must not return to what was left behind. Not hankering for the things of the created world, but constantly using them as jumping paths to the Creator. When we do that, then we can't wait for his arrival. We're not enslaved to the image, but to the one to whom the image points, we're attached. Tell you, on that night there will be two people in one bed. One will be taken, one will be left. Which person are you going to be? It's a real litmus test. If we say, uh-oh, I'm really afraid, I'm going to be that one left in the bed of the convent when the other sister is brought up in a fiery chariot to heaven, it shows our entire spirituality. Whereas what we want God to have us do, and what we need his help for, is to say, I'm going to be ready. I'll be ready. Two sisters in the kitchen preparing dinner. One will be taken. One will be left behind. Which one are you going to be? Is it going to be, she always beats me to it, she's a little faster than I am? Or is it going to be the situation that, Lord, I am going to be ready? The somewhat sort of scary image at the end, because of the ways that we treat vultures. And we don't see vultures as footprints of God or fingerprints of God. We just basically see them as infernal beings who just chaw on our carcasses. Jesus says, Where the body is, there also the vultures will gather. They had asked, where, Lord? And the Lord is just basically saying, wherever. If there's a dead body, the vultures are going to get there. And so Jesus is basically saying, that eruption is going to happen everywhere. Wherever there's a body, God's going to come. So wherever you are, don't worry about it. He's coming. And are we going to be ready? Are we going to see everything as a signpost, basically telling us to be vigilant and alert, like the five wise bridesmaids, waiting for the coming of the Lord? Or are we just going to be thinking that it's really about grinding meal, or just getting a good night's rest, or everything else such that we're not relating it to the King? That's the big deal. That's one of the most important things the Lord needs to help us to get and to live. Today we celebrate the feast. You know, I'm so excited that I'm in New York and Santa Francesca Cabrini is here, and I've been up to Mount Washington to visit her on a few occasions, and I might be there for the Italian Mass and the procession tomorrow. But just, there's a saint in our city, a great saint in our city. She's not supposed to be the only one. It's an incredible inspiration. It's one thing when you're thinking about saints far away. It's another thing when you're there and you recognize that God takes short, little, heavily accented Italian sisters and makes them great saints. And He can do it for all of us who speak the English language far better. She's here. But what happened when she was a little girl, growing up as the youngest of 13 kids in a home, is they were constantly reading the annals of the propagation of the faith and the missionaries over in China. This little girl with her imagination was linking every one of those great heroes spreading the faith through her own life. She was able to relate it all to the Creator. She recognized that their stories were in some way her story. And so from a very early age, she was responding to a missionary call. She used to make these little boats that she'd put lots of flowers in them just to symbolize the flourishing of the missionary. And then she'd put them in the local river in Lodi, thinking that they were going to go from that river all the way to China to impress the missionaries over there. But she was constantly thinking about this. In the little days of everyday life, she was seeking the Lord and caring for her parents, who both died by the time she was 18, seeking the Lord in the way that she would be guided by essentially her 14 parents, her 12 older brothers and sisters, and her two parents. When she was 18, when both of her parents died, she wanted to become a missionary. But again, and I think that this is over the course of time, the one thing that really makes me indignant is the lack of the correspondence in the Holy Spirit to those who are sick. And because she was a little bit unhealthy, no religious order would take her. God drew good out of that evil. So the local parish priest, recognizing that he had a saint on his hands that these other religious orders rejected, asked her to take over an orphanage that needed some real help. And so she brought a whole bunch of women together to try to save that orphanage. Didn't save it. But that team that was put together, God would use. He used that experience precisely for His plans. The local bishop recognized that she had a vocation to be a missionary. But there were no orders of missionary sisters. It was too dangerous. But God had well prepared her from the time she was a kid to be a missionary. And so He said, you must found an order of the first missionary sisters. So this little girl from Lodi said, okay. She wanted to go to China to preach the gospel there. But there was such a crying need for help here in New York. In New York in the 1880s, there were 50,000 Italians, but only 1,200 were practicing the faith. Most didn't know the faith. Most didn't know how to go from the analogy of earthly things to the things that really matter. Not to mention, they didn't even know how to make the sign of the cross or pray the Our Father. There were only 12 priests here for the 50,000 Italians, but 10 of the 12 priests had been booted from their own dioceses in Italy, which basically meant that they were bad. They were bad. And so they had come on over here more or less to be able to profit from the immigrants because there was a priest, but not really to serve them adequately. So there was great need, and Archbishop Corrigan had written her a letter asking her to come to serve the Italians here. But she felt that tug to China, and so she did what any of us would do. She went for a private appointment with Pope Leo XIII to try to figure it out. And he said words that would change the history of Catholicism in the United States. He said, "Sister, not to the East, but to the West." So she came. And in one of my favorite stories in hagiography, she came and Archbishop Corrigan was trying to milk this benefactress who was going to endow the orphanage she was going to run here in the city, out of which her first schools would come. But because of a problem with the benefactress, she reneged on the offer. And so Archbishop Corrigan said to Sister Francesca, "Listen, take your sisters home. It's just not going to work out here." And she had gone back to the docks, ready to go home, and then she said, "No, it was the Pope who sent me to the West." She went back and she said, "I'm staying. Give me the benefactress's name." So she went and communicated with the benefactress, was able to start that orphanage, and that just led to everything. Vocations came out of this city like crazy. She was able to found things in New Orleans and then 8 other countries during her lifetime, even though she almost drowned when she was a kid and was terribly afraid of water. She would constantly be hopping on boats and stormy seas in order to be able to plant the gospel in other places. Because she was the one who was always ready for the kingdom. She was the one who was always like that wise bridesmaid rather than the foolish one, ready to find the kingdom wherever it was, and help others likewise to discover that great gift. And the easiest way that we do that, the great help that God gives us every day, is here. The most important event that has ever happened in world history happens here, on this altar, every day. God himself, the one who created all the beautiful things in the world and left them as his fingerprints and his footprints, God himself comes here. And the way we prepare for Mass is we unite all the aspects of our life to him. And if we prepare for Mass well, we live and celebrate Mass well, as this true encounter with the Lord. And then we seek to unite everything else that flows over the course of the day as an outgrowth of this communion, where the kingdom of God is within us. We're able to see it so much around us because we're doing it together with the King. If we just get this, everything else begins to come alive. Because it's right here that the recreation of the world happens. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.